Thank you, Ryan. I'm really excited to be here this morning. Every time when I look up and see this room still filled on Thursday morning, that speaks highly of you and of this great work. It's my joy to watch this grow. This is my third year, but I've been blessed to come and to just soak up all of the wonderful lessons that I've been given, and to get to know you better and be blessed by your love and by your presence here, and to see this room is just getting to work and kind of turn it on every day. That's a great problem to have. That's like my thing. That's it. How's that work? How's that work? Thank you. Well, by the way, the church never had brought it back to the church, and so he tried to soak it up and bring that up. message from the book of 2 Thessalonians that by the help of the Father and of our mentors of years past, brought to my attention perhaps to yours as you sought out the fate of that dead and godly Christ-like man. It's the last part in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 17, where he wrote, the salvation of power with man and God. Rejoice, I say, and every epistle. So I write. Dear friends, the apostle Paul said, by saying of a little hour. Now, we have a habit in Bible times of doing things just the opposite of three. When I get a letter in the mail, and I don't recognize the address, the first thing that I do is I go to the back and I say, oh, who wrote this? And it's at the bottom of the letter. Is that right, Neil? And if I don't say any name, then I go, I throw a letter out of me. Now, in Bible times, instead of signing the name at the end of the letter, they would sign the name at the first of the letter. This may go out of 5 rounds, time, and a castle of Christ Jesus, and a little time, and so forth. But you do not find that in the book of Hebrews. Yes, there is terminology that sounds a lot like the castle of Christ. Yes, there is theology that resembles Paul's greatly, but Paul never put his name to the epistle question. But the Holy Spirit brought the Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:17, absolutely inspired by the Lord. The Holy Spirit, in fact, inspired Paul around the fact, I'm signing off the letter I wrote. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for the book of Hebrews. But he didn't inspire the book of Hebrews to put the name Paul on it, which suggests to me that Paul did not write the book of Hebrews for all intents and purposes. Therefore, in answer to our first question, who wrote the book, we have to be content in saying, as one scholar suggested, it is the, and I quote, Lord of the New Testament. Question number two. And in answer to this question, we can be more specific. Question number two, whom, by the way, to whom was the book of Hebrews penned? As you read through the book, that again is not specifically addressed to any group of individuals, as were many of the epistles of Paul. Some to an individual, some to a church of individuals, some to a grouping of churches of individuals. But the epistle of Hebrews was not specifically assigned to a given demographic. However, when you read through the 13 chapters and put your finger on the pulse of the saying, there are some things that begin to just jump off the page that suggest an answer to this second question. For example, it appears that the book of Hebrews had to have been written to a Jewish audience. And that because, for example, every chapter of the book quotes from the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament. Second, many times in the 13 chapters, Jewish heroes are brought front stage and center to motivate certain action. Therefore, they read about Moses, Joshua, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, and those individuals who are not specifically mentioned by name, but you know by identity, by virtue of what happened on the left, in Old Testament reading. So apparently, these 13 chapters were written to Jews. Second, it's apparent that this book was written to Jews who were struggling to remain true to their Christianity. Therefore, written to converted Jews. stand fast. The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. Stand to the end. Hold fast. Take the cap off. Take the bow.
Missing the mark.
engaging chapter 5, verse 11. It says, in reference to Jesus, of whom we have much to say and how to explain, since you have become dumb, nearly sluggish, and deaf. Can you imagine that? Jesus not being an exciting message anymore? I can't fathom that. For so by this time, you ought to be teachers, you have made some little teaching again. The first principles of the oracles of God. And a bit of milk and not solid food. Now, verse 13 says solid food belongs to those who are full of age. But if those who by reason of use of the word of the world have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They were contributing to a teacher shortage. Jesus was no longer exciting to them. They needed to be taught and became a mission field themselves rather than missionaries, and they were having a problem with their ethics discerning between good and evil. Because they were disengaging and not spending time growing in the Word. Some had become disrespectful. Chapter 10, verse 29. How much more worse punishment do you suppose? Will he be thought worthy who was trampled the Son of God underfoot? Trampled. Literally. Walked down. Under my foot. The walked down. You push it down with your feet. And once you saw it press down, then you just walk away from it. That's the word trampled. Trampled the Son of God underfoot. Consider the blood of the covenant, the lift of the sanctified, the inherited common thing, and insulted. The Spirit of grace. You might have heard the word insult and grace in the same verse. These people have become disrespectful. And some were discouraged. Now, that's chapter 12. Encouraged them to consider him who endured such hostility, Jesus, from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Weary, literally tired, sick, and sick and tired of this. Weary and discouraged, literally exhausted. I just can't go any more. I'm sick and tired. Some are feeling that way. Chapter 12, verse 12, references these individuals as individuals who had hands that were hanging or drooping down to the side, who had knees that were feeble or loose to the side, and individuals who were on the verge of becoming lame. Verse 13, literally emotional cripples. They were discouraged. Look at it. Some are drifting, some are departing, some are disobeying, some are disengaging, some are disrespectful, some are discouraged. Jews who are converted to Jesus, but were being encouraged by pressure to go back to Judaism. And therefore, but pushing itself out of our lives in a variety of ways. Rather, we should have taken the word depression. D-E-P-R-O-S-S-I-O-N. Now, mark for the first two letters of the word. Then look for that word, and when you see the word I, mark for it. And when you take out the I, what do you got? Press on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the book of Hebrews. That was telling Jews converted to Jesus, struggling to remain
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, let us press on to maturity, completion, steadfastness.
Thus the book, and that to whom it was written. Who wrote the book?
We don't know.
Any idea is nothing shy of conjecture.
Now you can be happy with that if you wish, but I believe the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Be very careful when you say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, because the Bible doesn't tell you that.
To whom was it written?
Converted Jews traveling to remain true to their Christ.
Why was the book written? Love God's people to stay focused on Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, look up there and step away from your pens. When you struggle with the faith, when you struggle with the life, it is not your membership in the churches of Christ is going to get you through. And I believe with all of my heart in the identity of the Lord's church and would never choose to minimize her importance at all.
When you struggle with faith, when you struggle with your life, that is not your God, that's what will put you through. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that cloud of witnesses, of course, as you know, but by those brothers of the Old Testament, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Here you are, running around the track of life. And all around the track, you have the Old Testament brothers that are saying, just because nobody had a loud voice. How many of you ever heard him preach? Did he speak? Did he hold a microphone? Silent. My body was a silent, but he was more than that. He was a daddy. And I remember being out there on the football field, and man,
I said to myself, you just try coming this way next week. And whether they did or didn't, I was in on the battle. Because there was a voice.
Hebrews 12 says, you are in the land of the track of life, and all the way up, not the starting point, not the finish point, but all the way up the track. You've got voices that are saying, you can do this. See, when I was surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what is my side? Have we right? And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with hope and memo. Hope and memo remain. Let us run with remaining under. Some translations say patience, none says endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Set before us brings us a verb that means it's a race that you set before yourself. That's something I did. You did this to yourself. When you chose to become a Christian, you stepped onto that track of the Christian life. You set that race in front of yourself. Now, you run that race and remain under the pressures that come with that race. Well, that is all around the track saying you can do it with faith. Now that introduces the verses that emphasize why this book was written. That's two. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, looking translates a past word, but once again is towards the divine. The verb is the word that means to stare or to gaze. That's prefaced by a preposition that means a life of. Therefore, to stare a life of. Okay? I am staring at David. If I move. I'm going to stare at something, you know? You know what I mean? We're biased. Thank you. according to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is for the joy that was set before him, the way of my end under the pressure. Ship on in now. Enjoyed the cross. Thinking down on despising the shame. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did not march through, walk through God with it stoically. He didn't just do his duty. He hated every single minute of it. But enjoyed it nonetheless because he loves you with more than his own life, more than his own reputation. He fought down on, despised the shame, but he remained under the pressure of the cross. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you've stopped Jesus if you want to endure, and let him give you the example of how to endure. I don't take away from that marvelous lesson we heard an hour ago. It is sad that people's lives are so scarred by the decisions or and consequences of others. What were the thoughts we were given? And counselors have a great place in life. And I hope you are prepared to be a counselor. Because there are people that need your special expertise. But I'm here to tell you, there's not a human being on the face of this earth. And there's not one ounce of psychology in and of itself that will get you from today successfully into tomorrow. When your life has been ripped apart by the decision of another, there's only one thing that will do that. And that is you stay focused on Jesus. And you let him give you the example of what to do and how to be. Verse 3 goes on, Father, consider him. Jesus, consider him. I am a good Samaritan.
Say what?
A good Samaritan. Logic.
Logic.
Anna. Anna, a good Samaritan. Not logic. Logic. Reason up. You stay focused on Jesus and you think about Jesus. Consider him. Okay? People will know. Remind under the pressure. Endured. Such hostility from sinners against himself. Must you become sick and tired and exhausted, discouraged in your souls?
Don't miss those last three words.
It's on the inside
where you struggle and finally say, I'm just sick and tired of all this.
It's on the inside
when you say, I just can't go anymore.
It's on the inside where you are alone and tempted to say in your prayer to God, how much is this?
And yet, you can remain under the pressure of verse 12, verse 1,
if you store up Jesus and the life of everyone else,
verse 2,
and think up to Jesus, example, verse 3, as one who endured himself.
Never take your eyes off the cross.
I believe it's
Charles Swindoll that gives us two word pictures of Jesus.
One of them, Jesus is a lad in his daddy's carpenter shop. And he went to gather through the day and behind all the bombs down and in this portrait, in this painting, this young Jesus is stretching from a bridge work. And he stretches out. And as he stretches out, the sun is shining from a window and it
makes the silhouette on the back wall of Jesus. But the crucifix is hanging on the cross. You study the Gospels and you'll find that in his ministry, short as it was, especially toward the end, the Lord could barely talk about anything else. He didn't take his eyes off the cross. Should we dare think about Jesus? Now that's why this book was written. In just a minute. It's not this next hour, I think, but the next one. We'll come back and we'll focus on the last question. What did the Holy Spirit, through this animated author, say about Jesus that will encourage individuals to hold on to their Christianity? And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go through these 13 chapters. And we're going to see different ways that the Holy Spirit described Jesus. Says that Jesus is at the right hand of majesty on high. And chapter 7:24 says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And chapter 9, verse 24 says, he ever bowed into a holy place and made the hands like and given to the true, but into heaven itself, there to appear, right in front of God for us. We are to constantly look to Jesus because Jesus is constantly looking to us.